Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and we've been talking about family history. But what does it mean if you don't know anything about your family, even though you lived under the same roof? What if you didn't know your parents' birthdays or their hometowns? What if your parents had become strangers to you? That was the subject of my guest's piece yesterday in The Times. Sopan Deb wrote about how and why he picked up the phone on Mother's Day 2018 and called his mother after years of not speaking with her. He was also estranged from his father. Sopan's parents had a dysfunctional relationship, and by the time Sopan was in high school, his parents were divorced. That's not so unusual. What was unusual was that Sopan's father moved to India without telling anybody. Upon turning 30, Sopan decided to make a change, and he set out to reconnect with his family. He chronicles this journey in his new book, Missed Translations, Meeting the Immigrant Parents Who Raised Me. Sopan is a journalist and currently on the culture desk for the New York Times. You may remember his name from previous assignments, including covering the 2016 Trump campaign, where he was wrongly detained by police. Many of you saw that video. It happened during a scuffle at a Trump rally. Sopan, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure.
So what was the catalyst to reaching out to your dad?
Well, I reached out to both parents essentially around the same time. My mom was literally on Mother's Day 2 years ago, but my dad was around the same time. And the catalyst was really time. And what I mean by that is, while I didn't know exactly how old my parents were, I knew that they were up there in age. And I knew that I didn't know how much longer they were going to be around. And I felt the notion of them passing away without, you know, me learning their stories had become an unacceptable thing for me. So that was the big catalyst. I frankly didn't want them to die before me learning about who they were as people. So that was the big thing. And then there were smaller things, like there was an invite to a wedding in India and other smaller things. But the big thing was that I felt like I was running out of time.
So what did you say to people when they asked you about, tell me about your mom or what's your dad like? What did you used to tell people?
So I had two responses, depending on who was asking. The first response was sometimes I'd make something up, you know, oh yeah, my dad's doing fine, my mom's doing fine, you know, whatever, you know, they live, you know, my mom lives in New Jersey and my dad lives in India or whatever. And all of these things were estimates on my part. I actually didn't know, you know, any of these things. I was making estimates. Or the other one is, I'd be honest, man, you know what, I have no idea how my mom's doing. I haven't spoken to her in several years, and, you know, my dad, I haven't seen in more than a decade. And because I'd say those things very casually, I'd often not realize until much later in life how unusual this was. So I'd say to my friends, like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen my dad since college. Oh, well, why not? Oh, well, he moved back to India. He didn't tell anybody. Wait, what? And it would be a very strange, and that's when I'd realize in this conversation, oh, this is, you don't have a typical relationship with your parents, even with divorced parents. And that's where I realized how unusual this whole thing was.
Do you think you were compartmentalizing? On some level, you had to know it was unusual. Right.
I'm sure I was. I spent years kind of pushing down this gnawing feeling in my head, in my you know, body, that something wasn't right here. So I'd often, you know, there was a third response too, which is I'd often deflect and talk about something else, you know. And so yeah, I think you're totally right. There's a lot of, you know, deflection and compartmentalizing going on.
My guest is Sopan Deb. The name of his book is Mistranslation, Meeting the Immigrant Parents Who Raised Me. So what do you remember your father being like before he left, and how did that compare with the person that you met as an adult?
Oh, man. So what I remember about my father growing up is that he was a very awkward, you know, awkward guy, kind of, you know, a little bit very, very academic, reserved in social gatherings. You know, we didn't play catch. He didn't know anything about me. I didn't really know anything about him. And he wasn't into my type of music. He wasn't into sports. And then he leaves for India, and I don't see him for essentially about 11 years. And then we land, this is my now fiance and I, we land in India. We get out onto the sidewalk, and I'm looking for my dad. And the last time I saw him before this, he was kind of old, a little bit haggard. I thought that maybe, you know, he'd have a cane, and maybe he had remarried or whatever. I didn't know what to expect. And then he kind of appears on the sidewalk. He's bounding towards us. His arms look toned. He has a full head of hair. He looks like he's wearing a dress shirt. He looks in great shape. And he's telling us that he He plays tennis 3 times a week. He does yoga. He plays golf, swimming, all this stuff. And I kept thinking to myself, like, where has this man been for the last 30 years of my life? Mm-hmm. It was a totally, in a way, a very jarring thing to see. But, you know, I was on some level happy for my dad that he reinvented himself by going back home to India.
I wondered how you process that emotionally, seeing him doing so well someplace far away.
Well, I the answer is twofold there. First of all, I'm still processing it. I will likely be processing it for the rest of my life. But in the moment, I was just surprised. And I remember, I told him, I was like, you know, Dad, I did not expect you to be living this kind of life. I will say that what happened, essentially happened with my dad, is he went home and kind of rebuilt his life. But look, at the end of the day, I think he's still a pretty lonely guy. And I asked him, like, are you happy here? Are you happy here in Kolkata? Like, are you happy you came back to India? And he said, and I'll never forget this, he said, you know, the lights of my life aren't around me. And he's meeting his children. So for that reason, you know, I will never be truly happy, but this is home for me. And so I think he's at peace with what his life has become, but there's always going to be this little bit of a hole there because we aren't nearby.
Yeah, you wrote in your book about meeting your dad, I felt like I was opening the vault of our family trauma. For years, I thought I'd never get an answer as to why he left. And here I was on the precipice. He hesitated again. He said it was a story he had never told anybody. How had you prepared yourself to take in what could have been traumatic? And
well,
did it feel traumatic?
I approached the whole conversation like a journalist, because this way I could kind of get rid of all my preconceived notions and all my preconceived biases. I felt like if I approached them as the aggrieved child of immigrants, he would get defensive and I would get defensive, and the conversation wouldn't be productive. So I went at it, when I had these conversations with them, I did it as I would any other interview. You know, in the course of learning about him, I don't know whether I consider it traumatic or not, but these conversations really made me look inward and made me look in the mirror and made me wonder what my own contributions were to our discord. And so, you know, I don't know if I was prepared for it. In fact, no, I know I wasn't prepared for it. Some of the answers he gave, like why he left the country, you know, about, you know, being with my mother and vice versa. I mean, those answers are really difficult to hear, and some of that I was simply not prepared for.
Of all the answers that he gave you for why he left, and he just kind of left, which one made the most sense to you?
So when he left, I was 18 years old, and he moved back to India. What I later learned in the course of this conversation is that he got into a pretty serious car accident. And then he comes home from there, and he feels so distant from me that he doesn't feel like he can tell anyone in his family that he got into a life-changing car accident.
Right.
And so he looks around and he says, you know what? America has nothing for me anymore. I'm going to go back home. You know, I tried the American dream, and I essentially failed at it. It's time for me to leave, and then I'll try to be the best father I can be. And that answer really stuck with me, because he, you know, he felt so distant from his son that he decided that he couldn't even tell me that he got into a life-endangering car accident, because he felt that I wouldn't care. And that was a very stinging answer. It made me look in the mirror and say, okay, this wasn't just your father failing as a father or your mother failing as a mother. On some level, you know, as an adult son, you failed there as well. And so that really made me look in the mirror as much as it made me look at him.
You do have a moment, though, where you write, he was more than my DNA now. He was my father. What made that trigger? What triggered that switch in your mind and in your heart?
We spent time together. You know, so on this trip to India, we spent time together for the first time in our lives. Like, we shared our first beer. We'd never had a drink together. You know, we traveled together for the first time. We had never traveled together. He was... Before I went to India, he was like this floating head from my past. He was like this distant footprint. And then as I spent several weeks with him and we're taking pictures together and we're sharing meals together and I'm getting to know his story and I learn his birthday and how old he is and all this stuff, you know, I saw him as human. I saw him as my father for the first time in my life. I felt a connection to him. for the first time in my life. And now, is it like this, are we this close familial bond right now? No, because it's not how it works. This, you know, this isn't, you know, a movie. But, you know, he's a human to me in a way that he never was before.
My guest is Sopan Deb. The name of his book is Mistranslations, Meeting the Immigrant Parents Who Raised Me. So we're talking about parents, plural. With your father, it's a little more clear-cut what happened. He left for another country. And with your mother, it's less clear. What happened with you and your mom? How did it come that you did not? And I noticed, I made clear that I said you weren't, someone could say you didn't speak to her. And that's not the case, because that sort of suggests that you're angry and you're mad and it's an action. You just didn't speak with her.
Yeah, there wasn't like a flashpoint or a falling out, right? So the way I think about it is, you know, I'm sure, you know, some of your listeners have had college roommates that they live with, but they didn't speak to, not for any animosity or anything like that. They just, you know, maybe they didn't jive or they didn't do anything to, you know, maybe they just didn't spend time together or whatever. But growing up, my mother and I, we really didn't speak much. And, you know, we just lived in the same house, we occupied the same space, but we didn't, you know, beyond that, there wasn't much contact at all. So once I got to my 20s and graduated college and all that, we just kind of got distant from each other, you know. And I woke up one morning and I realized, oh my gosh, it has been several years since I've spoken to my mother. Because we just weren't, it's not like, you know, when you fall out with someone, there's like some base of a relationship to split apart. But that's not what happened with my mother and I. There wasn't like that base of a relationship to split from. It just didn't really exist to begin with. So there wasn't an argument or, you know, or there wasn't like, it's not like we were close and then we fell out. It was just, we just kind of fell out. You know, there's no better explanation for it than that.
We don't want to give too much away, but we can say that, you know, your parents had an arranged marriage and it was a very difficult and dysfunctional marriage. You made it a point to ask multiple members of your family how they feel about arranged marriage. What did they respond, and how did you feel about the response?
This is interesting. You know, I asked, both of them had the same answer, is that, you know, they had no problem with the institution of arranged marriage. And I should note here, as I make clear in the book, you know, my story is one story. It's not the story of either South Asian culture or, you know, arranged marriage. And, you know, as I learned in this process, you know, there's several people in my family who had arranged marriages, and they couldn't be happier. But they, you know, they essentially said, look, you know, we could have dated and we could have met somebody and that could have ended up in divorce too. You know, life's a game of chance and sometimes things don't work out. In this case for us, that it didn't. So they didn't really have any aspersions about arranged marriage. And as far as me personally, look, if it's something that you are okay with, then all power to you, you know. But for my parents, I mean, they didn't have an issue with it, even though it really didn't work out for them.
What do you feel when Mother's Day rolls around now?
That's a good question. You know, in the past several years, you know, it's been a source of anxiety for me, right? Because, you know, you find on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and people are bombarding you with photos of them and their mother and how great their mother is and how great their relationship is, whatever. And that's been a long source of anxiety for me. This year, you know, it's not like anxiety goes away, but I mean, I talked to my mother on Mother's Day. We sent her flowers, and, you know, at least I felt like we were able to share a little bit of a connection today. Or excuse me, on Sunday. But, you know, it's always been a source of anxiety, just as the holidays have been, mm-hmm. or just as, you know, birthdays have been, for example, because you're just bombarded with stuff. Some of it is artificial, and so that's what I would say I felt historically about Mother's Day.
Now this sounds like a cheesy question, but I mean it genuinely. Was this book healing for you and your family?
Oh yeah, totally cathartic. You know, a lot of people write books and they describe the process as being this laborious, you know, difficult thing, and that's why they miss deadlines and whatever. For me, it was laborious, but it felt therapeutic to write it. So it didn't feel as strained, if that makes sense. Because for me, this was therapy. For me, this was years and years and years of anxiety and stuff I wanted to get onto a page. And so it was, for me, it was really cathartic to write.
The name of the book is Mistranslations, Meeting the Immigrant Parents Who Raised Me. Sopan Deb, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you so much for having me.